Thank you for listening to the Kim Komando Show. This is for the weekend of April 30th, 2022.
Yeah, they found the answer to all the cheaters. It came out this past week that Call of Duty Vanguard, the game, they're actually rolling out a big plan to get rid of all the cheaters. So what they say is that any cheaters playing Call of Duty Vanguard, they won't be able to see their opponents, they won't be able to hear their opponents, and as a matter of fact, yes, that includes any incoming bullets. Okay, that's all well and good. But I started thinking about this. If they can detect the cheaters, why don't they just boot them out of the game in the first place? And speaking of Call of Duty, whenever I play with my friends, they actually call me 007. Like, I'm like this real James Bond. And I thought that was a good thing until they explained to me that 007 actually means like zero kills, zero assist, and seven deaths. Yes, I am that bad at Call of Duty. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, just an example of all the fun that we have here week after week as we talk about living the best digital life. Yes, it's America's largest show about all things digital, the most trusted show, the most sourced show. And of course, it's called the Kim Komando Show because I'm America's beloved digital goddess, Kim Komando, here with you once again. And you can find the Kim Komando Show on over 425 top stations from coast to coast. And of course, we're streaming in your favorite radio app, and you can find us as a podcast and as a webcast, streaming whenever you want, 24/7, all 3 hours, and commercial-free over at GetKim.com. And a special thank you and salute goes out to all of our listeners on the American Forces Network Radio, over 375,000 American servicemen and women in 175 countries, and I just love this, 200 ships at sea get the Kim Komando Show. And I'm sure you have at least a few questions about something digital I can lend a hand to. And that's why our T-Mobile Unlimited listener line is now open at 1-888-825-5254 is the way to join us. All right, let's start with five things that you need to know about tech to keep you up to date. And I'm sure you've heard that Elon Musk has purchased Twitter. That's right, $44 billion later, the deal's done. And Elon Musk owns Twitter, and then he's been selling off some Tesla stock in order to come up with the money. And there's no doubt that the shareholders made a bundle. So what will an Elon Musk-owned Twitter really look like? Well, they're talking about some big changes, an open-sourced algorithm, longer tweets, and finally, oh, let the heavens rejoice, an edit button on Twitter. But really, the big deal is that Elon Musk believes in free speech. And as an example, he actually tweeted out this past week that when Twitter suspended the New York Post's Twitter account, you know, a major news publication, for publishing a truthful story about Hunter Biden, the company had acted incredibly inappropriately. Also released this past week, and this number is just astounding to me. Listen to this. 99.4% of all Twitter employees donated to the Democratic Party. Wow. And I've been watching some of the news reports and some of these Twitter employees, they are really crying big tears that Elon Musk is in charge. I don't know what we're going to do. I'm not going to be happy. Okay, babies. Then there's also Robert Reich, Bill Clinton's former labor secretary. He was talking about Twitter, one of the big news channels. And he actually said, for democracies like America to survive, you've got to have censorship. I looked that up, by the way. I couldn't find that word anywhere near the First Amendment. Meanwhile, number two, Facebook is more clueless than ever. Yes, in newly leaked internal documents reviewed by Motherboard, here's what they say, that the privacy engineers on Facebook's ad and business product team wrote that they have a really difficult time committing to privacy laws. Yeah, they do. Let's feel sorry for them, too. They say they don't have a way to keep track of all the data that they collect. Not only that, the worst part is they don't even know how the system uses the data in the first place. Yes, that's what it says. The document says their open border systems gather user data directly from Facebook and all kinds of third parties, and it's all mashed together, so no one knows where any of it really has come from. The metaphor that they used, pouring a bottle of ink into a lake and then trying to get the ink back in a bottle. Wow, this is something. And since these engineers can't say with any certainty what data came directly from Facebook, they have no way to follow any new laws or what the regulators are asking them to do. So Facebook's privacy team has a plan that would tag data. Oh, wow, isn't that interesting? They are. They're going to tag the data being created on Facebook to keep it separate from anything else. And what's scarier, that they have all your data or they don't know where it came from and they don't know how they're using it. Thank you, Facebook. Number three, big tech is having problems again. How companies like Apple, Google, Meta, and Twitter have been tricked into turning over users' personal data through fake emergency requests that have been used to carry out financial fraud. Okay, that was all in a Bloomberg report last month. Now, a follow-up Bloomberg report that was released this past week says that some of these bad actors are using the same tactics to extort women and teens into sending them sexually explicit photos and videos. Here's how it's happening. These tech companies get these emergency data requests, typically from law enforcement agencies where there's some imminent danger is involved. Now, they're supposed to verify that these are genuine requests, but guess what? They're not really verifying a lot of anything. The information includes the person's name, their IP address, their email address, their home address. It's all the information someone would need to harass or intimidate potential victims. So enough of these fake emergency requests are being slipped through the cracks that now lawmakers are getting involved and saying, hey, what's going on? How do we stop this now? Meanwhile, Facebook is sitting there going, I don't know where the data's coming from. Oh, my gosh. Number four. Would you believe that we're actually going to use this in a sentence, that you can invest in Bitcoin in your 401k? Wow, this is some big stuff. Fidelity is going to be the first one out. The financial services company said they're going to let certain people save at least a portion of the retirement fund in Bitcoin as long as their employer signs off on it. The option is supposed to come in a couple of months. This was all reported by the Wall Street Journal. They say employees can elect to save up to 20% of that fund in Bitcoin. Now, the first Fidelity client to adopt the new option is a business intelligence company by the name of MicroStrategy. You might remember them. Yes, a company that had a history of problems with the Security Exchange Commission. Oh, nice. The Department of Labor is saying that saving for retirement using cryptos put those accounts in serious risk from issues like fraud, theft, and loss. Yeah, it does, you know, go the other way, too. Like the gardener who retired after investing in Bitcoin. You know what he's doing now? Not mulch. yes. I saw you laugh. Number five, there's a glitch in the marriage. This is an unbelievable story. This is one of these things that you're going to want to talk about at dinner parties and on Zoom calls that will just make everybody look at you and go, what did you just say? And where did you hear this? And you can say, I heard it on the Kim Komando show. There's this 38-year-old guy from Japan, and he found love. He did. He found love in a really strange place. He found love with a hologram. That's right. And he married the hologram. It's apparently this thing that's a big thing that's happening, according to the New York Times. They're known as, and I am not making this up, they're known as fictosexuals. That's right. These are people who are officially, unofficially married to fictional characters. Okay. Now, in this guy's case, it's a holographic representation of a virtual pop star. So it's like, if you can imagine, it's like in this glass case, you know, that's maybe about 2 feet high and about maybe a foot around, there's this virtual pop star that's a hologram. Okay. And that's what this guy married. And it's a $1,300 device called a Gatebox. And it has AI built in and allows you to have chats with holographic versions of fictional characters. And this is what he fell in love with. This is what he married as a fictosexual. But the honeymoon is now over. One day, a few months ago, he came home from work and his bride was not there. The hologram was gone. The whole thing was black. She was nowhere to be found. And all that came up on the screen, it said network error. That's it. A network error. And they haven't. Oh, God, I'm getting worked up over this. They haven't spoken since. Here's the problem. The startup that developed his quote-unquote wife said that it was a limited production model. He should have known that when he married her. And it's run its course. The holographic character has been discontinued. He says his love for her has not changed. Has not. He still loves her. And to fill the void, he's having a life-size version of her created. No, not a hologram. He's learned his lesson. He's going to turn her into a doll. Yes, a sex doll. He's going to turn her into that. Wow. There are some really weird people in the world. There are just, I just don't get it. What's that called again? A fictosexual. Wonder if that hologram, wonder if she came like with a dowry or something like that. I mean, you know, there had to be something. Hey, coming up in just a few moments, a quick tip on how to save big money on that brand new iPhone or Galaxy. And of course, we are going to start all of your fantastic phone calls here on the Kim Komando Show. Hey, our T-Mobile Unlimited listener line is now open at 1-888-825-5254. Once again, is the way to join us. And if you ever have a question for me, I love to read every single note and email that you send me. And the easiest place to do that is by heading over to komando.com. That's K-O-M-A-N-D-O.com. And on the right-hand side of the homepage, there's a link that says Email Kim. That's where the magic happens. And in just a few moments, a quick tip on how you can save some big money on your new iPhone or Samsung Galaxy. And then coming up still in this hour, we're going to be talking about password managers and some hidden uses and what are the best ones. And how about we start this hour with Tanya in Ventura, California. Hello there, Tanya. Glad to have you on board with us.
Hi.
Welcome. What's going on?
How do I get my photos back from Amazon Prime?
Well, what happened?
We use Amazon Prime for photo backup, right? You put the app on your phone, take your pictures. If you lose your phone, your pictures are safe up in the cloud.
Sure.
And then I thought to myself, well, what happens if we decide to cancel Amazon Prime? What happens to our pictures? There's thousands and thousands of pictures out there. So I go on the website thinking there has to be a way to just download a copy. I'm going to put all these on a hard drive. And I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, maybe there's an Explorer view. What am I missing here? And you can download two or three. You can make a share link. But I saw no way to just get them all. So I got on the chat with their IT help, and I said, hey, how do I get all of my pictures back? I want a copy of all of them for my own personal file. Oh, sorry, ma'am, there's no way to do that. You can only download them one at a time. And I thought, that can't be right.
No, that's not right.
So I did it again. I got back on the chat a second time, you know, another day when I had more time, and I got the same answer. So something's not right. Please help me. I don't know the answer. I hope you do.
How many photos do you have up there, do you think?
Tens of thousands.
Do you? Okay. All right.
Yeah, photos, videos, 20 years worth of stuff.
Oh, yeah. So you've got a lot. You know, and isn't that funny? If you were to tell me, like, 15 years ago, I have tens of thousands of photos, I'd be like, are you just a crazy person? But now it's like, oh, yeah, I totally get that. I mean, you know, why wouldn't you have 20,000 different photos of anything?
I might be a crazy person, but I am a crazy person with a lot of pictures.
That's okay. That's all right. It's all good. Just so everybody knows, so we're all on the same page, is that with your Prime membership, you get 5 gigs for full resolution photos and videos, and you get unlimited photo storage with Prime. Okay. Now, you can download specific albums and folders, and then you can also sync the entire library locally. What that means is that you're going to sync it to your drive, and then you mm-hmm. or you can download. There's two options. I'm going to give you some steps on how to do this. Now, there is a caveat. The caveat is that you need to have enough free space on the C drive for it to actually work. Okay.
Okay.
And the app does not allow you to point that download or that sync anywhere else. Okay. So
that was my next question. We can't point it to a different drive.
No,
it has to be the C drive.
It has to be the C drive. And so if you think about, if you have 10,000 HD photos, you need at least 30, maybe even 50 gigs.
Yeah.
On that C drive. And so maybe that's kind of what's happening, is you don't have enough space, and then it's saying, well, you know, we're only going to allow you to do onesies, twosies. So check the C drive. You might have to move some stuff off of that and then move it back over to it. But again, I'm going to put some step-by-steps for you, and those will be over at inside the Komando community. That's komando.com/community, and there we have the Q&A forum, and I'll go ahead and post all those steps over for you. And so this way, Tanya, hey, we're all crazy. We got tens of thousands of photos, but at least you're not sitting there saying, do I have to keep Prime or will I lose everything? Because that's not the case. And thank you so much. Still to come, we've got that tip about saving money on your Samsung or your iPhone. Oh, and also a great tip about smart tech that you're going to want to take camping. So, of course, you can get Wi-Fi there here on the Kim Komando Show. All right, I have a couple of tips to pass along before we go back to everybody's great phone calls today. But as promised, if you're looking to save some money on an iPhone or Galaxy, you may not necessarily need the latest and greatest. I mean, unless you're really into photography and you're taking a lot of videos, there's really not too much difference. Apple doesn't want you to know this, between the iPhone 13 and 12. That's now almost 2 years old. You can pick up an iPhone 12 for around $700. You get an iPhone 11 for $500. If that's still out of the budget, look at refurbished phones. But you have to be careful. Always make sure that the refurb has a warranty. You can train it. Now, a lot of them don't come with a box. A lot of them don't come with charging cords. So the best place to check for a refurbished iPhone is over on Apple's website. They have a new battery, shell, and they come with a one-year warranty. And if you're looking for a refurbed Samsung, you want to hit that site. All right, back to the phones we go with Mary in Des Moines, Iowa. Hello there, Mary.
Hi, Kim.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure to speak with you. I'm a longtime fan.
Well, thank you. Thank you. How can I help you out today?
Well, I'm looking for some type of recommendation for a wired security system for an emergency shelter that I'm opening.
Oh, wow. Aren't you so great? Why did you want to come up with this, or how'd you do this?
Well, we are in an area where there are no shelters at all. The closest is like 100-some miles from here. And we have many women and children that are walking the streets. And we figured we needed to do something. So my nonprofit got together, and we are renovating an old building that we're going to try to open up as a women's and children's shelter.
Wow. You know what? That's so wonderful, really. I'm proud of you for doing that. I mean, it's, you know, you're going to be helping so many people and so many generations, really, when you think about it, right? I mean, it's not just, you know, it's like, let's try to break that cycle, and which I'm sure you'll be able to do. So you say it's an old church. How big is the church?
I was figuring that out today. We had to figure that out. And right now, this shelter is sitting at 16,230 square feet. So it's a big building. It's three stories.
Wow. And then how many folks do you think are going to be in there?
By the time we're finished with this, we are going to be housing close to 75 to 100 clients.
And then do you have any cameras now?
Well, what we've been using is while we're renovating right now, and what we've been using is the wireless Nest cameras. And we have had nothing but trouble with them.
Really? Why is that?
Going in and out. Yeah, you know, I don't know whether it's because we don't have that great of internet service in this area, or maybe it's because it's such a big area, and I'm not real sure.
It's just the
cameras go in and out and in and out.
Well, you know, that's typical, especially like if you have an older building, and if the Wi-Fi isn't the best in certain areas, which I'm sure there's a lot of concrete and block construction, and that could actually impair other. So you're probably looking at a wired solution, especially when you're looking at family safety and people's safety, is that we don't want the image to go in and out, right? Okay. And I'm sure you are looking at, you know, wanting to record it as well, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
So, go ahead.
Is there a way also, you know, I don't know a lot about wired systems. And one thing I did like about the Nest was I was able to actually view the cameras remotely on my cell phone. Is that possible with a wired system?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
There was a time, and you're super smart, Mary, there was a time when that was not possible. It was like, okay, if you went wired, you're kind of out of luck. But now the wired systems, they come with apps, and they allow you to see what's been recorded, do live views, and at most times also have a conversation with the person who's on the other end of the camera as well from your phone. And so when you start looking at different makes and models, is that, you know, with that size building, you know, wow, 16,000 square feet. You know, one of the systems I'm thinking about, it's about $900. It comes with 16 cameras. Okay. And so you'll have to, without knowing the layout, you'll have to figure out where you can put those in public places, you know, and this way you have authority to record people. Different states have different laws. And what I always recommend, too, is that, especially in this type of environment, is that you put a sign up in, you know, all around the building and where people enter in the building, just to say that we are video recording 24/7, and say that the and find the sign. If you can't find one, I have one in my yard, by the matter of fact, that everything's being recorded, and it's being recorded into the cloud off the property.
Okay.
Because people tend to act differently when they know that they're going to be recorded. And they and that and they don't have access to that video. If they were to find a DVR, it's still going to be recorded. So there's a company by the name of RioLink. Don't write this down. I'm going to email you a link to this particular product. But it has a 3 terabyte hard drive, and it records 24/7. It does it in 4K, which gives you a lot of flexibility when you want to zoom in and actually get some details, like maybe a license plate or something along those lines. It has. Speaking of, it has car detection, has people detection, and it is in 4K. And they run like about, say, $850. And it also allows you to get remote access and playback. And so you have access to all the cameras remotely, no matter how many you have. You can check in or whatever by using an app. And the app is available on both iOS and Android. And so you know, what I'd like to do, Mary, is I'd like to send you this as my contribution to your shelter. How about that?
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. That means so much to me.
And so so we're going to get your name and address. And then can you do me a favor? After you get it all up and running, can you take a few pics for me?
Absolutely. You bet I will.
Because I'd like to see what it looks like and see how it's working for you. And like I said, it's about $850, $900. So I'm going to put you on hold, Mary, so that this way we get your full mailing address, the name of the organization, good things like that. And if you're just listening, you're like, why did Kim just give this woman a $900 camera system? Well, it's our random acts of kindness, folks. And what that means is that I try to do one at least once a week, is to help out somebody in need. And if you think that, I don't know, you need a random act of kindness, go ahead and hit our website. Head over to commando.com with a K, of course. That's K-O-M-A-N-D-O.com. All right, let's see. Let's go ahead and do our privacy tip of the week. And this week is brought to you by Total AV. Now, you know by now you can't trust everything in the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And Checkpoint Research recently discovered 6 antivirus apps spreading malware that takes over your phone and steals your banking details. So instead of just skimming reviews, yeah, we're all guilty of that and hoping for the best, check out my trusted pick. I did the research for complete device protection. That's Total AV. Total AV has received the renowned VB100 Award for detecting more than 99% of malware samples for the last 3 years in a row. And not only do you get protection from the latest threats, but TotalAV's AI-driven WebShield browser extension blocks dangerous websites automatically. Plus, you can cover up to 5 devices under a single plan. So whether you're on Windows, Mac, iOS, or Android, just install the easy-to-use app, and that's it. You're protected. Head over to protectwithkim.com today for an exclusive introductory rate of only $19 for the first year. That's over 85% off the regular annual price. That's protectwithkim.com. Once again, protectwithkim.com. All right. This week's digital privacy tip is actually a follow-up to a call that we took on our last show. It was about a gentleman who had $107,000 worth of Bitcoin stolen from his account because he hit a phishing scam, and then he gets hit with malware and, you know, bad, but really $107,000. And then I was talking to Jeremy. He's one of our IT geniuses here at the Kim Commando Show, and he made up he gave an interesting point that if this guy was using a password manager, then he could prevent phishing scams like this. And you're like, well, here's how. Well, when using a password manager, you can autofill your username and password, but it only works if you're on a site that matches the domain that you put in when you set up the login details. So if you end up at a site with a different domain, your password manager is not going to automatically put in your username and your password, which is so smart. So that's one reason why you should be using a password manager. You can also use it to hide private notes. We have an example of the notes that can be added in KeePass over at commando.com. And, you know, bottom line is a password manager is much more secure to steer your thoughts, your personal thoughts, in, say, Microsoft Word or a Google Doc. You can share passwords. So if there's somebody in your family members or friends and you're like, hey, can I borrow this account? Then you can share a password that way. You can also securely store your credit card information in a password manager. So it's more than just passwords. And then you can autofill forms and you can actually do a security checkup as well. So we have links to some of our recommended password managers in here, as well as you can learn more about this by heading over to commando.com. That's with a K, of course. That's KOMANDO.com. And when you're there, hit the link at the top that says Kim Show. And by the way, this is a great tip for you to share on social media with all your family members and friends, because you know what? They need to know about this stuff, too. All right. Still to come this hour, how to make sure you're not being tracked by Apple AirTags. In addition to that, some gear that you might want to take camping because, hey, maybe you still want Wi-Fi there here on the Kim Komando Show. All right, a couple of things I want to pass along. First of all, we have a new podcast. Yes, Kim Komando Today. That's where, yes, you can have me for 30, 35 minutes, and all this transference of intellect and know-how comes directly from me into your brain because you're getting it as a podcast. So wherever you get your podcasts, make sure that you search for Komando with the K, of course, and sign up for Kim Komando Today. All right, just a quick tip before we go back to all of your phone calls. And we're talking about camping. Oh, don't you love to go camping? I do. You have the trees, the fresh, clean air, the streams, and, you know, you're getting back to nature. I know what you're thinking, but hey, how do I get online when I'm camping? Well, you know, you could consider your time in nature a digital detox, right? Just maybe turn off everything and not be so obsessed with posting things on Instagram and what's going on Facebook and Fox News and CNN or whatever else that you're watching. But maybe not. In that case, you want to check your carrier's coverage maps, and they have them all on their websites, to see how many bars you can expect where you're going. Now, if you're not getting too many bars in too many places, you may be able to pick up some additional coverage by packing a cell phone booster. And then if you want to share the love and share your Wi-Fi, you're going to need a mobile hotspot. Now, if there's absolutely no coverage at all, a satellite phone works, but don't even think about using it for data. It's way too expensive. But you do need to think about your personal safety when you're in the wilderness. For this, I want you to pick up a GPS satellite. It's made by a company called Spot. It's about the size of a hockey puck, and it's wonderful. It lets you share your location, send text messages, and most importantly, there's an SOS button that will tell local emergency responders your exact longitude and latitude. And it's really amazing little piece of gadget. And so if you're looking to get online when you're camping, those are some happy ways to do it. Let's see. Lisa in Spokane Valley, Washington. Hello there, Lisa.
Hello. How are you?
Fantastic. How can I help you out today?
All right. I enjoy your show quite a bit. I was listening to the one about the dirty, sweaty socks this morning.
Oh, were you? Oh, my gosh. Yes.
I'm like, how can anybody do that?
And he's making money at it. I mean, this guy is making like $2,000 a month selling dirty, sweaty socks. I mean, there's, you know, I've said this already once already in the show. There are just a lot of weird people in the world, you know?
Well, there is, and I can't believe he wears them.
And then he sends them, and then people still want the steak, and so he has to mail them in a Ziploc bag. Okay. And then in all seriousness, he's in this interview that I watched with him, he's like, oh, you know, my business is so good, we're thinking about expanding. And what are you expanding into? Well, we're gonna be selling like dirty underwear. Okay.
Really? It's just not good.
No. It's just it's crazy. All right. So moving from dirty socks and underwear to
Yes. Well, I have a smartphone. I keep it on my nightstand, and the reason that I do that is I have my Ring security system on it that alerts me at my other property if there's anybody, you know, breaking in or what have you. And I'm concerned about the electromagnetic waves and radio frequency, of course. I've heard about the pouch that you put your phone into, but I don't know if I do that, will it stop my Ring from working as far as letting me know when somebody's at my property? It will.
Because, I mean, basically what you're doing is when you put it in that pouch, you put it in a box, whatever you buy, is that it's going to, it's turning off all those signals. Now,
that's what I was afraid of.
Yeah. So it's not like, okay, we're going to turn off all the signals, except for just the Ring doorbell. Okay, it doesn't
exactly.
It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
But
you could do is, you know, you put the phone, you know, don't put it next to your nightstand. Put it in another room. Okay. And then what kind of phone do you have?
It's an iPhone. Okay. I think it's a 6 or so. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if you have the latest, OS. I don't know if it's available to you. But the latest OS has something called Do Not Disturb. And so with Do Not Disturb, it's fabulous, is that it will silence everything, your bings, your bongs, anybody, and you can say, I only want to hear from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. Maybe I want to hear from my kid, and I want to hear from my Ring doorbell.
Okay.
So if you're concerned about, you know, having the radio act, like you said, and the frequencies and all that other good stuff that, you know, bad stuff that might be circling around your head, is that these new features that are available as far as, you know, focus. Like, for example, I totally need to set this up. Okay. Because I was, you know, being personal now is that I'm Catholic, okay? And I've been Catholic my whole life. And there's a new app out called Halo, and I've been trying it out. And so this morning I went for my walk just as the sun was rising, and I was doing the rosary. And as I'm doing the rosary, I get some text messages, I get another text message, get another. And so I'm like, I totally have to set it up. So what I'm going to do, so the next time I do this, I'm going to put on focus mode and only let maybe a text or from Ian through or Barry through and have nothing else bothering me. So while I'm, you know, doing the rosary and walking and, you know, just having a special time in the morning that you can do that. So if you aren't already using these modes on your iPhone, they're really fabulous. Just take some time. There's personal time, work time, like I said, focus, and also do not disturb. Thank you so much for your call today, Lisa. Coming right back, how to make sure you're not being tracked by Apple's AirTags here on the Kim Komando Show. All right, so a young woman found one in her jacket when she got home from a club one night. Another woman found 3 in her car. One was hidden in the wheel well. These are Apple's AirTags. They're about the size of a quarter. They can be used to track anything and anyone. If you have one and you have an iPhone, you get alerted when there's an unknown tracker near you. But if you're on Android, no such luck. You have to download the Apple Tracker Detect app. It's in the Google Play Store, and then it will search for Apple AirTags. But here's the deal. You're not automatically alerted. You have to scan, and sometimes these scans can take several minutes. So if you're concerned about Apple AirTag, you kind of need to get an iPhone to make sure that you can spot them automatically. And you want to stay right where you are. We have another jam-packed, fun-filled hour of the Kim Komando Show coming up here on the Westar Multimedia Network. Okay, I actually saw this over at Reddit. There's a guy there who said, you know, I have found evidence of a flying saucer on Google Maps. And he put a picture up online, and he's like, did I just see a UFO on Google Maps? Is this true? Well, when you start looking at the picture, it does kind of almost looking like a UFO, a little tiny bit. But as you zoom in and you look a little bit closer, the truth is apparent. It's actually, it's not a UFO. It's actually bird poop on the camera lens. Yes, I guess you'd say interdimensional bird turds. All right. Oh, gosh, you never know what you're going to find on Reddit. You see, on this happy note, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another hour of America's largest show about all things digital, most trusted, most sourced show. You can find the Kim Komando Show, like I like to say, on over 425 top stations from coast to coast. And we're streaming in your favorite radio app, and you can find us streaming as a podcast, as a webcast, 24/7. Commercial-free all 3 hours over at GetKim.com. And a special thank you goes out to all of our listeners on the American Forces Network Radio, our servicemen and women, and the Army, Marines, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, and Space Force, who are listening to the show and protecting our great nation as I speak. And our T-Mobile Unlimited listener line is now open at 1-888-825-5254. Once again, is the way to join us. Love to hear from you. All right, let's start this hour with 5 things that you need to know about consumer tech. And picture this. You know, we're all traveling, and maybe it's a good idea that we all start putting Apple AirTags into our luggage, or if you're on Android, a tile tracker, because this is a really amazing story. It happened to a guy by the name of Elliot. He was flying back to the UK after he got married in South Africa, but his 3 bags were missing, And he said they just had all kinds of sentimental items from the wedding. He had handwritten notes in the suit that he wore, itineraries, and some memorabilia that he actually bought there. And Elliot had an advantage, though. Each bag had an Apple AirTag on the inside, and he had already been tracking his bags. But instead of the bags coming with him to Dublin, his luggage ended up in Frankfurt, Germany. So he reached out to the airline with the information. They said, oh, don't worry. We're going to get the bags and we're going to send them to your home in London. He said, okay, that's great. Well, two eventually show up. Well, what about the third bag? So he tracked the third bag to various places all over London over the next several days. And then the airline just stops helping him, even though he kept telling them, like, hey, here's my bag. So he decided to make a PowerPoint presentation. It's the funniest thing of his lost bags journey. He put the video on Twitter, tagging and calling out the airline, and once CNN picked up the story, his bag miraculously appears at his house. It was an open and shut case, and talk about emotional baggage. You know, it just reminds me, a couple of years ago, well now, everything's always a couple of years until the pandemic. I guess it was maybe a year before the pandemic. I was in Rome, and we get to Rome, but we're missing two bags. And so I call up British Airways. I'm like, hey, you know, can we find the bags? And they're like, you know, we're looking for the bags. We're trying to find the bags. And I guess they had this whole meltdown at Heathrow where we had to connect to another flight. And the whole conveyor system, the whole computer system went down. And so I'm looking at the newspaper, the Daily Mail, the next day, and I'm like, dude, that's my bag. And so on the front page of the Daily Mail, I could see our luggage. And I called up British Airways. They're like, we don't know where your bag is. I'm like, I know where it is. I can see it. And I'm going to email you a copy of the picture and our bag circled. And so that's how we found our bags. But now it's much more sophisticated. You just want to throw an AirTag in your bag. All right. Number two, you can now fix your own iPhone, but you may not want to do that. And I'll tell you why. Of course, we have this right to repair legislation that's been gaining a lot of traction. And Apple historically has been totally against you just wanting to crack open your iPhone to replace a screen or put a new battery in. But they've now had a change of heart. I'm sure it has nothing to do with government interaction there and pressure. But after first announcing its self-service repair program, it's now in the U.S. It means you can buy parts like displays, batteries, cameras, and fix it all yourself. Another perk is that you can actually rent the necessary tools for $49 instead of actually buying them. Okay, this sounds really fabulous, doesn't it? Maybe not. First, replacement parts are only available for certain iPhone models, the 12, the 13, and the third generation iPhone SE. Second, the dedicated service site sells over 200 parts. Wow, from 10-cent screens to $300 displays. So you have to really be sure that you're going to choose wisely. But the biggest thing is that when you do the math, you may not necessarily be saving a lot of money, and you're going to be potentially maybe causing more harm. So, for example, replacing a cracked screen on iPhone 13 yourself is going to cost you about $237 when all is said and done. So you're going to save about $40 from having it serviced. Okay. Mac parts are next. No word when the parts are going to be available so you can fix your own Apple Watch. And I guess if you do that, you'll be working around the clock. Okay, number three, you can get Prime shipping from stores not called Amazon. What is that? Amazon announced that certain third-party merchants can now offer the Prime benefits on their own websites, Prime shipping. So as you're out there shopping around, I just want to bring this to your attention, that you're now going to see something that says buy with Prime. And so basically what you're doing is you're going to be getting the same benefits as if you had Amazon Prime and you bought it on Amazon.com. So why is Amazon doing this? Well, because they're trying to take over more of the world, of course. But places like Shopify already do this. And so far, Amazon hasn't named the initial merchants offering Buy with Prime, the initial websites. But, you know, to prepare for some lost delivery business, FedEx and UPS are actually getting together and they're going to form a new company called FedUp. That one was actually pretty good. All right. Number four, it's time to Google yourself, right? Google has added a tool allowing you to request that your personal information be removed from Google results if you have a reason, say if you're the target of doxing. What is doxing? Doxing is when someone plasters your personal information online for others to see, usually with malicious intent. Okay. So if that's not the case, you could still request that info like ID numbers, financial details, medical records be removed from Google search results. Now it's expanding, and this is why I want to tell you about this, because as of this week, anyone can request the removal of other what they call PII, personally identifiable information. And what is that? Well, that's your email address, that's your phone number, that's your home address. And all you have to do is fill out a form. And we've got a link to that form over at commando.com. But a couple of things to keep in mind. If your personal information is at a People Finder site, that doesn't count. Okay. It has to be pulled from Google search results, and it still doesn't mean that Google's going to go ahead and remove any of this stuff. So if you're trying to get your information off of the personally identifiable information off of Google, we've got that link. And then we also have a link over at commando.com, so where you could remove your information from these people finding sites. And finally, number five, the metaverse. You know, everybody's talking about the metaverse. And so if you're not sure what it is, it's where you are going to be living a virtual life, not in your person, but as an avatar. Okay. And it's completely virtual. And Mark Zuckerberg has come out this past week and he says, we really want everybody to see what a metaverse is. And so we're going to be opening our first physical store where you can go in and you can test VR headsets and VR tech and things like that. It's called the MetaStore, not Metamucil, the MetaStore. And it's a 1,500 square foot shop, little tiny thing near the Meta campus near San Francisco. It opens next week. Now, you walk inside. The first thing you're seeing is wall-to-wall curved LED screen mirroring. You can see what's on a Quest 2 headset. You can put one on. You can try popular games, Beat Saber, VR fishing, things like that. Yeah, he's trying to get more people involved in this metaverse, absolutely. But if the metaverse wasn't already bad, and it is bad. I mean, inside the metaverse, there are, well, just like you have in towns, I guess, you have seedy strip clubs and you've got naked avatars. Well, there's some new technology. Gosh. There's some new technology that you can hook up to your VR headset so that this way, and it's called haptic technology and special ultrasonic transducers, they say, so that this way, if you're in the metaverse and you're at a seedy strip club or you are naked in the metaverse and you wanted to have a kiss, you could do that with somebody and you could actually feel that other person's kiss. You could do that. And you know what that kiss, you know, often leads to, especially if you're naked in the metaverse. Yeah, that. A meta sin. Get it? Like sin? See, I'm sorry. I know. That one was bad. I needed to work harder on that one. I promise you, they're going to get better. I promise. Coming up in just a few moments, how to know if someone is actually responding to your text or actually reading your text. That answer is coming up. Oh, and brand new or not true, it's going to be a lot of fun this week. You don't want to miss that. And we have all of your phone calls here on the Kim Komando Show. Hey, our T-Mobile Unlimited listener line is now open at 1-888-825-5254 is the way to join us. And if you are not getting the Kim Komando Show newsletters, what the heck are you waiting for? Head over to commando.com/subscribe. I consider our breaking security alerts and our tips essential, as well as the current, okay? And so when you head over to commando.com/subscribe, the newsletters that I think that you should be getting are already checked. But you can check more. We've got newsletters for Windows users only and Apple on Android. And we've got travel tips and smart homes and good stuff like that. So that address, again, is commando.com/subscribe. And how about we start this hour with Lloyd in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hey, Lloyd.
Hi, Kim.
Welcome. What's going on? How can I help you out?
Well, I love your jokes, but the reason for my call today is I have to transfer PDFs securely to people from time to time, and I'm trying to get clarity on my desktop. Outlook has a send securely encryption. There's a Proton Mail, and Google Drive is popular, but sometimes the other side just can't quite get the document. I wanted your take on best practice factoring in security nowadays.
Wow, yeah. Well, you know, with PDFs, you can lock those down pretty securely itself, right? I mean, you can give it a password, and so that this way, as it's traveling through the highways and byways, that somebody just can't, you know, open it up and take a peek. And so that's always an option. Are you saying, like, when you send it through Google Drive that they have trouble finding it or opening it, or they don't have a Google account and then they're like, what do I do now? And then you become a tech support person, or what's the issue?
Exactly. About 10% of the time, something goes wrong. I share the access a few times. It's usually with a non-Google email. And so I thought, there's got to be something more reliable. Like you say, you don't want to be technical support for the other end. That's just a waste of time.
Yeah. And, you know, and then it's also frustrating, isn't it? It's, you know, why is this so difficult for you? You know, it's like everybody in the world uses it. We have 1 billion people on Gmail, but you can't figure it out. Okay, so.
You got that right.
Okay, all right, I get you. All right, so, you know, you have a couple of options. You know, Dropbox is pretty good. Have you ever tried Dropbox?
Yes.
And do people have trouble with that? Because that's fairly easy. You just give them a link and then they just go get it. And they don't need to have a Google account. That seems to be the big issue when you start using Google Drive, and because we noticed that. Now, you know, when we are using Google Drive just for like sharing proposals and documents, is that if they, you know, sometimes it does require somebody to actually sign in with a Google account. And then people are like, I don't want to get a Google account. Then, you know, that's not an option. You know, if you're doing this a lot for your business, you might consider setting up your own secure server. And so this way you can just put the docs there and then you could give people the address and then they can just download it right off of your server. I don't know if you want to get into all that. But if you're looking for something easier to use than Google Drive, then it doesn't require, you know, going through all the gyrations and still keeping things secure. Number one is make sure that you lock down the PDF on your side. And number two, give Dropbox a shot. You know, find somebody who you think is on a technical scale, one being none, 10 being IT genius. Find somebody about a 3 or 4 in your family members or in your friends and say, you know, how difficult is this for you to use? And I think you'll find that Dropbox probably fits the bill there. Lloyd, thank you so much for your call. And also, thank you for liking my jokes. See, somebody does, even the bad ones, I guess. I don't know. All right. How to know if someone's actually responding or reading your text. Now, iMessage makes it super easy because you can turn on Read Receipts in the iMessage app and click Settings. And the steps also work on Macs and iPads, too. For Android, open the Messages app, tap the menu icon, and select Settings and Chat Features. Now, if you need those steps, we have them all over at commando.com for you. And don't go away. Brand New or Not True is coming right up, and you're going to love it. Yes, it's Brand New or Not True. It's America's favorite radio game show sensation where you can play along at home and guess, is it brand new or is it not true? And I made up this game several years ago, and it's all because we see so many new products and so many crazy stuff in technology that you kind of sit back and you go, wow, what were they thinking? And then other times you're like, I didn't think of that. So when playing Brand New or Not True, you have three products I present you, and two are fake and one is true. Two fake products and one is true. And of course, you'll notice that I don't give out product names because people have been known to cheat. Yes, they start Googling stuff. And playing with us this week is Cole in Cheney, Washington. Hello there, Cole.
Hi, Kim. How are you doing today?
Good. So what do you do there in Washington?
I am an environmental technician for the FAA.
Wow. And so what does an environmental technician for the FAA do?
I work on approach lighting systems on airfields and then maintain power systems, whether it's battery backup or generators for remote sites, facilities on the airfields, HVAC equipment, and then at towers as well. So
that's awesome. That's great. That's great. And so, wow, you're going to be hard to beat on Brand New or Not True with that type of background.
I hope so.
All right. Okay. Now, if you do win, Cole, you get an official. It's a big prize. It's an official Kim Komando Show fanny pack valued at $25. So, of course, you know you're going to be wanting that. So, let's get started with product number one. Okay. Not getting any personal thing, Cole, but product number one is if you're worried about losing your hair, if you're getting that dreaded monkey butt. Well, now, thanks to new innovative sensor cap and an app, you can know when it's happening. It's outfitted with medical-grade sensors, 272 in all, that pulse white light on your scalp to get a pattern of your hair follicles. And they say you put the cap on a couple of times a week for at least 5 minutes. And then by using the cap, it saves the pattern of your hair follicles and tells you where and how much hair you could be losing. And then, of course, they got to make some money. So they send you specific instructions and shampoo that will promote hair growth. And so, you know, if you have to change your hairstyle, or if you maybe want to shave it all off, because after all, you know what they call a barber who specializes in shaving men's heads, don't you, Cole? An air stylist. Ah, yeah. Okay, good for women, too. $39.99 for the cap, plus subscriptions to your hair products, shampoos, and conditioners. Okay, product number two, Cole. You know, you've seen all these smart glasses, haven't you?
Yeah.
So there's a new generation of smart glasses. These are sunglasses with brains. You can adjust the color and the tint of the lenses on the frames inside the app. They're like traditional transitional lenses, aka photochromic lenses that react to light. But these smart lenses are electrochromatic, giving you total control of the exact color and tint level that you want. They also have Bluetooth, so you can listen to music, podcasts, take calls anywhere, waterproof. And the glasses are also polarized. When you look at it, some people really love them, some people hate them. They're expensive, $259. And finally, product number three. Do you love yourself? Do you love yourself so much that taking a selfie for your social media isn't enough? Well, then this new product is for you. It's a drone that has a camera, and it looks at you at just the right angle so that every shot it takes of you is a great shot. You don't use a controller. There's no app on your phone. Instead, you choose one of the four preset flight paths. This is right up your alley. With the touch of a button, the drone can float, orbit, or follow you, taking videos and pictures of you always having such a great time, whatever you're doing in your life. And when you're done, it just lands in your hand. It has settings dials in the middle, four rotors. Videos and pics are wirelessly translated to your social media account. And there you can do your Photoshop, apply effects. And there is a side benefit to this, is narcissists have been never so easy to spot ever due to this technology, $230. So, Cole, we have product number one is your hair loss product. Product number two is the smart sunglasses. And product number three is the drone camera. Which of the three products are real?
I would lean towards the first one, but I'm going to go with the sunglasses.
You're going with the sunglasses. Okay. Cole is going with the smart sunglasses. What do the judges say? Oh, Cole. It's the camera. It's the drone camera. Listen.
Meet Pixie. The front camera captures photos and videos, while the bottom camera navigates the world around you. The dial turns the device on and off and selects the flight path.
See, here you go. This one, I didn't even know you worked for the FAA. That was it.
Amazing.
Yeah, so what it is, it's a drone. It's put out by Snap, the maker of Snapchat. And so that this way, all the people that love to take pictures of themselves having fun all the time, always happy, now they can have a drone about the size of their hand, and it flies up. It takes a whole bunch of photos and videos, and then you put your hand out, and then it flies back, and it lands right in your hand. You don't need a controller. You don't need an app. It's actually pretty amazing technology.
I'll say.
So how can I help you?
We built our house about 4 years ago. I put in a shop and built in a office to work from home. Unfortunately,
nice.
There is no internet available where we live. No phone lines even available. So we got Starlink last month. And so Wi-Fi works phenomenal in the house. I've ordered the Ethernet adapter. to plug into the router. And so I'm looking for some type of either extender or repeater, some type of device that I can get internet, Wi-Fi out in the shop. It's a little less than 300 feet of distance between the house and the shop. I've got a 2-inch communication line already buried, pulling in a Cat 6 line, actually as we speak, hoping there's something out there that you might be able to help me with to guide me towards a good Wi-Fi signal, like I said, either repeater or the extender.
Well, I'm building a house in Phoenix. You know, and I don't, would you ever build a house again? I don't think I would. It's been so much work. So I think I'm just going to move into somebody's house from now on. But one of the things is that I wanted to be able to do, which I have a time lapse, and I wanted to put security cameras on the lot. But I didn't want to pay Cox Cable or put in a cellular camera and pay that fee because I'm pretty frugal. You could say I'm cheap. Okay. So I have a friend of mine who has a house across the canyon, and it's about 1,800 feet away. And so we installed a company by the name of Ubiquiti. And basically, it's a little dish, and it allows you to beam your Wi-Fi signal to someplace else where it has another, like a receiver, and then from there you have the signal, and so it's just going right over the airwaves with no degradation of service. And so what I'm going to do is, Cole, I actually did a write-up about how to install this, so I'm going to direct you to this place on our website where you can read all about it and you can learn how I installed it, what you need to do to install it. And I will tell you that it is phenomenal. I mean, it's been working without a hitch, no problems whatsoever for, 18 months, maybe 2 years now. And it's just it's the easiest way, really, without worrying about any type of cables or anything like that, to get your signal from point A to point B. And again, it's called NanoBeam, and it's made by a company called Ubiquiti. And what I'll do is I'll post that link for you over inside the Commando community. That's commando.com/community. And on the left-hand side, there's a link for the Q&A forum. And again, it's a genius way to get fast Wi-Fi really anywhere on your property. Really, it's just truly, truly wonderful stuff. And thanks again for playing Brand New or Not True. It was really fun having you on board with us. All right, this week's digital life hack is 7 ways that tech can solve life's little annoyances. Like, for example, okay, maybe you are missing important emails, okay? Many email providers let you turn on alerts and sounds, and this way you know exactly when an email comes in. But you can actually turn on alerts and sounds for specific email addresses, and this way you never miss an important email from somebody important in your life. How about number 2? You go to the store, and you're like, oh, darn it. What was that I needed again? That's where you want to set a reminder on your phone. You can make shopping lists in the notes, but then you can add a location, and that's where the magic happens. So when you go to the grocery store, you get a location-based reminder that says, hey, I think you're at the store. Do you really – maybe you need to get more cauliflower or whatever it may be. Number 3, see who's calling without digging out your phone. That's where you're going to set up custom notifications and vibes. And how about the light switch? You don't need to do that anymore. You can have your lamps turn on by setting a schedule up or your location. So as you're getting closer to the house, the lights will just come on for you, say if it's dark out. And if you're squinting at this phone screen, that's where you're going to set up dynamic type that will adjust to your preferred reading size. You can also know precisely where you parked your car. If you ever do that, you're going on a trip, you're like, oh, I don't remember where I'm going to park the car. You can also have all your essential documents at hand by putting it into a secure note on your iPhone or Android. So you can check this all out and learn more by heading over to commando.com. And when you're there, hit the link that says Kim Show. All right, still to come, we have more of your phone calls. And then later on this hour, yes, a great tip, how to stop Alexa from keeping your voice recordings here on the Kim Commando Show. All right. On your podcasts, I just want to make sure that you know that you can get your daily tech update and your digital life hack every single day, wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's Google, Spotify, Pandora, Apple, you name it, Amazon, you can get our daily tech update and our digital life hack. So tech update is like this little quick news hit. And the life hack is just that. It's a little tip that you're going to use probably that day and from that day forward. And back to the phones we go with Cameron in St. George, Utah. Hi, Cameron.
Hi, Kim. It's good to talk to you again.
Well, thank you. Thank you. What did we talk about last time? Was it a reunion?
It was about the reunion, class reunion, some tools to help organize a class reunion. And I really appreciate the input, and it's kind of there in the background so that when the time comes, we're ready to roll with it.
All right. Well, we are back for more. Okay. I'm glad. Okay. How can I help you today, Cam?
Well, what we've got going on is I've got a good-sized family, and we shop at the big box stores. We shop at the warehouse stores. But whenever we're shopping, we run into this snag of, do we already have this item in the pantry? Do we already have this item in the fridge? And so we're always calling back and forth to the kids, what do we have, so we don't overbuy, or we come back home and like, oh, we totally forgot to buy that item. And it's really, really frustrating. Yeah. So I was trying to figure out if there are some tools, some apps, something that we can inventory what we have. So we know what we need to buy. And then when we go to the store, we can just pull that up on our phone and create that list for ourselves of, here's what you've got. Here's what you need to rotate through. Here's what you need to buy.
Here's what's expiring. What about, you know, yeah, here's what's expiring.
Totally. That way you're like, oh no, this is out of date. We got to throw it away. And there goes, you know, a bunch of money down the drains.
Yeah.
So anything like that would be awesome to help facilitate that with a family.
Cameron, how many different items do you think you have?
Oh my word. How many items do we have? We've got, well, if you look, count like individual cans and boxes, we've got 200 probably.
Okay, probably about two. Okay. All right. Well, there's, there's two that I know of. Okay. I think you're really going to want the first one. Because you already – like the one that I was thinking of first was – there's an app called Food Storage. But it's really set up for preppers who don't really know what they're doing. Okay. So where you set goals and you say, you know, by this date we're going to have this. But you've already got that down, so you don't need that. Mm-hmm. The other one is Pantry Check. And I think that's probably the one that's going to work for you. You use your phone. You can scan barcodes. Or you can manually input things. You can add expiration dates. And you can also note the location, so where it is in this thing. So you're like, okay, it's on the third shelf, on the left-hand side, second to the back, or whatever it is. then you can also, when you take things out, it can go on a shopping list for restocking. And you can also look through the shelves and see look at pictures and some other things, and you can search, you can locate items. It also allows you to compare to like what you bought this last 6 months to the 6 months before. So you can say, okay, nobody's really digging this, so we're not going to buy that anymore, right?
Nice.
We're not blowing through that. So it's called Pantry Check and works on iOS and Android. Can you do me a favor after you use it? Can you drop me a quick note and let me know your thoughts? Because if that doesn't work for you, I'll
Absolutely.
Go find another one. But I think this is I think this is going to be the one for you. I really, really do. And it's because that food storage one is just, like I said, it's just not kind of, you know, you've already done the whole prepper thing. Cam, thank you so much for your call. Thanks for coming back. See how nice I am? Not just once, but twice. Say wherever you are. We got a great tip here on the Kim Komando Show. Okay, it's a dichotomy. Amazon says that your Echo device isn't listening all the time. Amazon says that it's only listening for the wake word. Okay, but how can Amazon hear the wake word if it's not always listening? I know. I mean, I was talking about a real estate deal and ended up on some server at Amazon. So Amazon says that it keeps your recordings of your voice commands, they say, to, quote, improve the accuracy of your interactions with Alexa. That bothers you, you can make it stop. Just open the Alexa app on your iOS or Android. It's a little hard to find, but you want to find a menu option that's called Manage Your Alexa Data. And that's where you stop all these recordings from going to Amazon. You can choose how long to save the recordings and then pick Don't Save the Recordings. This also wipes out any of your recordings on Amazon's servers. And if you need the exact steps to have your Amazon device just stop recording you and sending it out there, we have it all over at Komando.com. And stay right where you are. We have another hour coming up here on the Westar Multimedia Network. Yeah, he had his bike stolen. Apple says that the AirTags are not designed to help you track down stolen items, but this guy who had his bike stolen, well, he had an AirTag on the bike, and the thieves apparently saw the AirTag on the bike, and then they grabbed the AirTag off the bike, and they threw the AirTag into a trash can. The problem is that when they moved the bike, the trash can was actually in the thief's yard. So when the guy was trying to find his bike with the AirTag, all he had to do was find the AirTag in the trash, and the bike was propped up right next to it. Okay, we never said thieves were that bright. And speaking of, there's a new high-tech machine using facial recognition to identify thieves. It was sent out to different cities for testing. In New York, in less than 30 minutes, it caught about 2,000 thieves. Detroit, in 30 minutes, 8,000 thieves. In Los Angeles, about 8,500 thieves. In Chicago, in 15 minutes, that machine was stolen. Okay, true story. Hey, listen, it's the Kim Komando Show. It's the nation's largest show about all things digital, your most trusted source. We're so happy that you're here. I'm, of course, Kim Komando. Yes, kind of a quinky-dinky how that happens. The Kim Komando Show is hosted by Kim Komando. And you can find us on over 425 top stations from coast to coast, and we're streaming in your favorite radio app. And you can find us streaming as a podcast, a webcast, all 3 hours commercial-free over at GetKim.com. And, of course, we always like to thank all of our servicemen and women who are listening on the American Forces Network Radio. And our T-Mobile Unlimited listener line is now open at 1-888-825-5254 is the way to join us. All right, let's start this hour with five things that you need to know about future tech and move over Tesla. Oh my gosh, it seems like every time you turn around, there's another EV coming out, electric vehicle. Ford already has the Mustang. Last week, they began shipping the F-150 Lightning, a pickup truck that I really wanted. And it can also power your house during an outage. And I don't know what happened with my allocation, so I just am like, forget the F-150. I'm going to buy another EV. The Hummer is back from GM as an all-electric pickup truck from GMC. There's also the Cadillac Lyriq. Chevy has the Silverado EV on the way. And just announced this week, and a lot of people are upset about this. I'm talking about very, very upset. I'm talking about an electric Corvette. Yes. As Chevy describes it, the electrified Corvette will arrive first as early as next year, followed by a fully electric version sometime later on. They use the word electrified because it's kind of a modified Corvette. It's going to be in hybrid. No other specs. There was a teaser video. It was really short, posted on social in case you want to see it. You know, I get the push for EVs. And, you know, I actually put in an order for a Tesla this past week. I'm going to get it in June or July. And I'm really looking forward to it because I've been wanting an EV for a long time. You know, I mean, I'm a real car gal. So I had to pick the right one. I picked the Tesla Plaid. But as far as the Corvette, you know, a huge reason why, we have Corvettes too. I have a 2021, I got a 67 Corvette and a 63 Corvette. You know, they have that sound. They just are wonderful, like rum, 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 rum. That's what they do. It's super loud. I mean, think about this. The Corvette that doesn't sound like a Corvette. There should be an app for that. There really should. Number two, connect to a satellite with your wrist is next on our future tech list. I mean, we've been talking about having a satellite connection with an iPhone for years. But Bloomberg writer Mark Gurman claims that satellite connectivity is coming to a future iPhone and the Apple Watch. Isn't that something? Either this year or next year. So what's the big deal about having your phone or your watch be able to connect to the satellite anyway? It's not for better calls or internet. It's for would be there when you're in an emergency situation and you're outside typical cellular coverage areas. I mean, we already have different things like that from Garmin and the Spot satellite, which, you know, my first experience with the Spot satellite was when a friend of mine, Ray, was embedded with the troops in Afghanistan. And his wife was always worried about, you know, is he okay? Is what's going on with him? So I actually sent him a Spot satellite. And said, you know, here, I guess CBS was too cheap. They didn't want to buy it for him, so I did. But anyway, here and there, is that I'd be sitting there, I'd be sleeping like at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I get a check-in from Ray because of the time difference. And I was like, Ray, can you check in like a little, like 6 a.m.? Anyway, it's really fabulous. But back to the satellite, it shouldn't be all that difficult from a hardware standpoint to add connectivity to an iPhone. But, you know, how are they going to put that into a watch? I'm really interested to see what they're going to come up with. You know, when they asked if satellite radio would be included, Apple said, you know what? You can't be serious. By the way, there's a Kim Komando show on Sirius XM. I don't know if you know that. We're on the business channel there, in case you just can't get enough of me with our daily podcast, Kim Komando Today, in the show. I know. You're like, God, Kim Komando all the time. Number three, it's like having a smartwatch for your brain. Elon Musk is really busy these days. He owns Tesla, SpaceX, and now Twitter. But a lot of people forget that he also owns a company called Neuralink, which is developing brain-machine interfaces. What is the brain interface? Well, here's what it is. What they're going to do is implant a chip in your brain that allows you to connect wirelessly to a computer. And they've been working on it since it launched in 2016. So it's not to make you smarter, per se. It's really being developed as fabulous technology to treat neurological disorders like Parkinson's or spinal cord injuries. Just a few days ago, that's the reason why I bring it up, is that Elon said that Neuralink's brain chip will be similar in complexity to a smartwatch. And he's looking for new employees with experience in developing smartwatches and phone tech. Now, they previously called it Neuralink's interface, the future of phones and smartwatches. So this way you can make phone calls and texts. But they are now testing implants in monkeys, and Musk says that they can transition to human trials by the end of the year. And it's really something when you think about this. So if you have somebody in your family, you know someone with Parkinson's or a spinal cord injury, you might want to look up this Neuralink. Maybe something that it's not here yet, but it's going to be coming here very soon. Number four, your next set of speakers could be wallpaper. What's that? And if you look at CES, that's the Consumer Electronics Show, the last few years, some of the headliners are rolling up things like paper. I'm talking about a roll-up TV, which I really want, but I can't afford it. It's like $110,000 for a TV. But anyway, here and there, MIT engineers created an ultra-thin speaker that not only produces sound, but it makes sound on any surface. And without getting into the technical weeds, is that speakers, you know how they work. They use electrical currents and magnetic fields, and they vibrate a membrane that manipulates air and produces sound waves. That's a little fun fact of how it works. Well, now it's taking it a few steps further, well, many steps further, really, is that the speakers are only 0.12 millimeters thick, made up of a grid of raised domes, and they vibrate independently of each other. Now, that's it. Okay, that's the big deal. And it can be attached to services without reducing their ability to produce any sounds. So this is what's going on at MIT. And the team says the tech can be used as an ultrasound detector, covered in reflective material, create unique light displays. This is definitely a sound idea. Number five, watch where you leave your watch. Now, 12 years ago, it was big news. Somebody found a prototype for the upcoming iPhone 4 left behind at a restaurant. Because everybody was like, wow, what's it going to look like? Well, now it's happened again. This time it's Google's long-rumored Pixel Watch. Android Central posted some images from someone who says they found the smartwatch left behind some place again in a restaurant somewhere in the U.S. If it's real, the watch has a round face, crown, the usual place, single button underneath, a heart rate sensor typical to other smartwatches. There's no band. Whoever found it, they said they couldn't get past the initial power screen, so no indication of what the UI looks like. But if other reports are correct, Google will officially unveil the Pixel Watch this coming month, May. It's supposed to come in two sizes, cost between $300 and $400. You know, we have all these constant upgrades year after year, year after year. You know, what are you going to do with all your old smartwatches? I mean, you know. You could add them like, wow, wouldn't that be something? You could add them all to your belt. And like, you'd look like a real geek of the week with all your smartwatches all on your belt. But then again, that would be a waste of time. All right, coming up in this hour, we've got some great tips about how you can turn your handwritten notes into text that you can get into your computer. Allie's going to be joining us. So if you're getting into crypto, we're going to talk to you about the safe ways to store your crypto. We also have a creepy Google Map feature to show every single place you've been, and also a free security cam for you and some software. And, of course, we have all of your great phone calls here on the Kim Komando Show. Hey, our T-Mobile Unlimited listener line is now open at 1-888-825-5254 is the way to join us. And hey, listen, if you're not getting the Kim Komando Show newsletters, or if you don't like the ones you're getting, or if you want to get some new ones, head over to komando.com/subscribe. That's komando.com/subscribe. I think our breaking security alerts and daily tips are essential, as are the current and the weekend roundup. And in addition to that, when you head over to komando.com/subscribe, even if you get one newsletter, is that you have an account, that's where you can set your preferences. And that's really important, so that this way we deliver you only the newsletters with content that you want to see. So if you just want Windows, you can check that box, Apple, Android, you name it. That's komando.com/subscribe is a way for you to sign up for our newsletters and check the ones that you want. All right, Dave in Saginaw, Michigan. Hi there, Dave.
How you doing, Kim?
Fantastic.
I just had a simple question, I hope. I'm trying to find a good piece of software, hopefully freeware, that will allow me to be able to remotely support my 80-year-old father's computer. Yeah. Windows 10 platform.
That gets a little tough, doesn't it?
Yes.
Over the phone. It's like, oh, gosh. It's like, you know what? You know, and we love them. We do, right? I mean, we do.
Yes.
But it's so frustrating. It's like, oh, my gosh. You know, it's like, and then it's like, what do you want me to do? Hit the start to go to the control panel. It's like, well, you know what? Just forget it. I'll come over. I know you're far, but I'll be there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So what you're going to use is some remote access software. Okay.
Right.
And there's a lot of them out there. The easiest one, and the one that our very own IT geniuses use, is called TeamViewer. It's free for non-commercial use. And so it gives you, once you set it up, it gives you permanent access when he's not there, so you can get on there. There's also video conferencing. If you want to work on it and you don't want him to see what's on the screen, you can actually black out the screen. And if there's something that you want to type up and you want to say, here are the steps, Dad, is that you can type it up. You can put it, obviously, you can put it on the screen. Or you can say, you put the steps on the screen and say, you know what? I printed it for you. It's in the printer.
Okay.
So that it's in his printer, right? So that this way, you know, so a lot of the step-by-step instructions are really helpful. Another thing that I have found is that if you find the steps over at YouTube, is that if you can show your dad how he can slow it down and how to replay, but also how we can look at the transcripts for a YouTube video, because almost every video has transcripts. But that also, I found, makes things a little bit easier as far as, you know, these are the things that we need to do. But, you know, try TeamViewer. I think you're really going to love it. I've used it myself. It makes it really easy. You don't need to really get into a whole bunch of other technical stuff, you know, as far as him having to do anything. And it's, you know, and that's the challenge, is that, you know, older folks, they've been around computers a long time, and you may find that somebody in your family, that it may be time to get off of them Windows. I know that they like it. Maybe time to say, you know what, maybe we just need an iPad. Maybe we don't need to have all these Windows updates and to do everything like that. I'll post a link over to TeamViewer over at komando.com inside the community. That's komando.com/community. And then when you're in there, just hit the Q&A forum. Thanks for your call today, Doug. All right, so you have some handwritten notes. You want to get them into your computer, okay? You need to have something that's made for the job, so this way it becomes text. One is called Evernote. You can also use Microsoft's OneNote app. And so you take a picture of your writing, and then, of course, you can open inside Word doc, and then you can edit. Again, that's Microsoft's OneNote app or Evernote. Stay right where you are. Coming up, Allie Seligman's here, our crypto gal, going to talk to us about wallets here on the Kim Komando Show. Okay, coming up in just a few moments, we have a great tip about this creepy Google map. I don't know if you've checked yours out, but pretty much you can see every single place where you've ever been, but you just have to know where to look and find the app, and I'm going to point that out to you. And right now here on the show, we'd like to welcome Allie Seligman. She's our official crypto gal over at Komando.com. Hello there, Allie.
Hi, Kim.
So we're going to be talking about wallets. And of course, there are hot wallets. There are cold wallets. And just now when I said hot and cold wallets, Allie, people had gotten that goldfish look. Like, is it hot or is it cold or what's going on there, Mildred? I don't know what kind of wallet that we need. Okay, they don't actually.
They don't sound like that,
they
Kim.
Don't sound
Come
like
on.
That. No, it's like, I think we need a hot wallet, Kim Commando. I don't want one
that
of
That is what they all sound like, yes.
All right, so all let's start. Let's start at the tippy top, hot and cold.
Hot and cold. We are not talking about temperature here. Hot and cold really refers to internet connection. A hot wallet connected to the internet, a cold wallet is not. In practical terms, what does that mean? Okay, a hot wallet is web-based in some way. So generally, it's going to be an app or a browser extension, something connected to the internet. A cold wallet is actually a piece of hardware. So they often look like little thumb drives. They're like 3 inches long, not too big. They're not internet connected, and so inherently a little bit safer from, you know, all those people trying to scam you online, right?
Yeah, and that's really it. I mean, gosh, I still feel sorry for that poor guy that called the show last week. I lost that's a lot of money, $107,000, because he got scammed. Right?
It really is a lot of money. And as we go on in the segment, be sure to listen, because at the end I'm sharing my biggest tip for keeping your crypto wallet safe, which everybody needs to know. So let's start a little bit at the beginning. We have talked about recently how to buy cryptocurrency on an exchange. If somehow you missed that, a little refresher, when you buy crypto on an exchange like Coinbase, FTX, whatever you use, a wallet is created for you. It's actually called a custodial wallet. You can use that at your next trivia night. It means someone else has custody of it.
Makes sense. I mean, okay,
custody.
Somebody else. Okay.
There you go.
All right.
But once you want to do stuff with your crypto, if you want to, maybe you want to buy some NFTs, you want to play, I don't know, you want to play a Web3 game and you need access, you want to earn some interest on your money, you need to take full control of your money. And that requires a self-custody wallet, meaning, yes, I control everything that happens with that wallet. Like you said, Kim, we have hot and we have cold. Which one should you use? Let's put this in kind of a real world analogy, right? So think of a hot wallet like just putting some cash in your pocket or your purse. You can pull out a 20, you can buy whatever you want. It's right there. It's easy to access. No hoops to jump through. Okay. A cold wallet is more like a safe. It's harder to access the things you've put in a safe, but they're more valuable, right? You're going to put more in there and it's going to be more protected. So you might walk around with what, $100 in your pocket? But you wouldn't walk around with your nest egg.
No, right? And that would be definitely a bad idea.
It would, and that's the same with crypto. So if you've got, you know, a few $100 floating around that you just want to have fun with, a hot wallet, you're going to be totally fine. If you have a lot of money in crypto, maybe you have some expensive NFTs, pretty smart to look into those hardware or cold wallets. Now, if you're sticking with the web-based wallet, where do you start? The most used blockchain, Ethereum. The most popular wallet there is called MetaMask. There are all kinds of wallets. There's MetaMask, there's Coinbase Wallet, there's Exodus. I could go on and on and on. And I'm not going to focus on any one here, and I'm not even going to try to tell you where to find it, because here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to just type in the name and go looking around online.
No, yeah, that's
because what will happen, Kim?
You're going to get scammed. And here's the deal, too. We probably should preface all this, that anytime you're talking about crypto, only invest what you can afford to lose, right?
That is very true.
Because it's a very volatile market. And, you know, you don't want to be going chasing down Bitcoin and said, okay, I swear it's going to be going up soon. You know.
Well, right. And we don't even just mean scammers, though that's important. But, you know, remember Mike when he bought that Dogecoin and got out after a day because it went down.
I know. The guy lost like $500. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You know, Mike James, our very own, our trusty tech director here, I mean, you know, he's on a little leave right now, but, you know, that was really funny. I mean, he was so excited that he was going to make, like, double his money. And he put like $5,000 into Dogecoin. And the next day he's like, oh, I can't stand it. He was like getting so nervous because it was going up and down. He's like, and so he just got out of it.
Yeah. Patience, right? Patience, patience. And yes, only invest what you can afford to lose. But I'm not even going to repeat those names because we put together a handy article over on Kommando.com that has links to wallets you can trust, links that we have vetted. I personally put them in myself. And we've got some links to those hardware wallets if you've got more value in there and you want to consider one of those. So I told you I was going to give my biggest piece of wallet security advice. Okay, so when you set up your own wallet, you are taking full control. This isn't like, you know, maybe you lose your debit card or the password to your bank account and somebody can get you back in. If you lose this stuff, you're done. Your money is out of your hands. So when you set things up, you're getting what's called a seed phrase. And usually this is 12 or 16 words, just like a random list of words. Like, honestly, like somebody just opened up a dictionary. This is the key to unlock your wallet. You know those headlines about people who've lost all this money in Bitcoin or whatever because they can't access it anymore?
Well, you know, there's that guy in the UK.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, you know, so, I mean, this, folks, if you don't know this, this is an amazing story. I mean, here's a guy, he had $7,000 worth of Bitcoin, but this was like 20 years ago or 15 years ago or something. And then he threw away the computer and the hard drive.
Yeah, something like that. Or, you know, some of the stories are people will put them on encrypted hard drives, lose the password to the hard drive. But really, the place where people get messed up, especially now, is they lose that seed phrase.
Well, this guy in the UK, okay, so it's a hard drive. And
yeah.
It's in the dump. It's in the city dump. Okay, he estimates that it's worth $100 million. Okay, so there's a hard drive in this dump in the UK, and so he's gone to the city, and he's like, I think I know where it is because I know the exact day that I threw away the hard drive. So if you tell me, I think I know where it is in the dump. And so he's like, no, we're sorry. We're not going to let you go there.
Right? Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So, and he's like, no, I'll give you half.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't understand. You take $50 million, and I'll take $50 million. Okay. So now, but he doesn't have any money. So he raised $1 million with some investors. And so he went back to the city and he said, listen, here's $1 million. And that's how much we think it's going to cost for us to go through and find that hard drive. And the city said, no.
No. Why would they just turn down $50 million? Insane.
I don't know. So anyway, so this poor soul is sitting there. And when you look at him, he's like living in like a crappy flat. You
know? Man.
And he could be worth $100 million or even 50 because he doesn't remember how to get, or he left it. Actually, it's all on that drive.
Right. Well, right. Don't be like that guy.
Yes, exactly.
When you're setting things up, keep track of that seed phrase and write it down. Write it down on a piece of paper, store it somewhere safe. Don't put it in your Google Drive. Don't put it in your iCloud. Don't save it to your desktop and just take a screenshot. None of that stuff. You need to write it down, put it somewhere safe. And remember, really, if someone gets their hands on that, everything in your wallet is now theirs. So keep it safe, protect it.
Which, you know, I think, you know what, just elaborate on just for a second. Listen, as somebody finds a piece of paper with your 16-word seed phrase, How easy is it for them to grab all your money?
Well, I mean, pretty easy because they could go in if they know what kind of wallet it corresponds to. You know, say it's your MetaMask. Maybe you've written down on their MetaMask. So you should probably make yourself a little code, right? They could download the MetaMask extension, put in that seed phrase, and then there's your wallet.
So that's it.
That's Hook. It. Yes.
Gone.
And then it's theirs. Within seconds, they could transfer everything somewhere else, and so you'd never get it back.
Oh, see, that's, you know what, that's just, that, you know, this is why we call it the Wild West. I mean, and this is why you really shouldn't be dealing in crypto unless you have some knowledge base, something that you can do. So anyway, in our podcast, Tech Refresh, every week, Tech Refresh, which is Fridays. If you're getting Kim Commando today, you're getting Tech Refresh on Fridays, is that Ali Seligman takes off. I do. I'm going to buy you like a cape, Ali. Is that she takes off her amazing content queen at Commando.com and she puts on the Crypto Gal cape. And she gives a great crypto. You do. You give a great crypto tip every tech refresh, which if you get Kim Komando today, that's your Friday podcast. And this is all good stuff. So you're going to write it up so nobody's going to Google anything because we don't want them to Google anything.
Nope. Just click the links from our site. Be safe. Don't go Googling out there because it's very easy to make a fake website. Trust me.
Yeah, we don't want you to do that. You know, earlier today I heard classical music coming out of my wallet. I don't know if you know that.
Oh.
Yes. I opened it and I realized that I had three tenors in it.
Womp, womp.
Womp. Hey, Allie, thanks for joining us. And again, you can learn more about it over at commando.com. Let's go. All right. If you can't remember every single place that you've been in the past few years, don't worry. Google's there to help you once again. It tracks your every move, and there is a hidden Google map. And it tracks your whereabouts even if you're not using a Google app. You simply need to be logged into Gmail, Chat, Maps, or another Google product. And you should be prepared to be a little shocked if you go to this web address, timeline.google.com, and you sign into your Google account. And on the left-hand side, you can narrow down your travels by year, month, and day. Now, if this bothers you, if you want to remove all that tracking, make sure it doesn't happen again. If you look at the lower left, there's this little tiny box that says Manage Location History. And that's where you can get back some of your privacy. That address, again, is timeline.google.com. All right, still to come, we have more of your phone calls. And there's a really handy way that if you have a desktop or if you have a laptop that you can turn it into a security cam for free here on the Kim Komando Show. This portion of the show has been brought to you by RoboForm. If you're tired of writing down passwords, you don't have to do that anymore. RoboForm Password Manager makes life easier and more secure by logging you into websites with just one click. That's it. You get 50% off at RoboForm.com/Kim. That's RoboForm.com/Kim. All right, you just heard me talk to Allie about Kim Komando today. That's our brand new podcast. Comes out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's why it's called Kim Komando Today. Yes, I knew you were so smart. So wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's Apple, Google, Pandora, Spotify, you name it, just search for Komando with a K and make sure that you get Kim Komando Today. All right, back to the phones we go with Stephen in Chicago, Illinois. Hello there, Stephen.
Hi, Kim.
Welcome. What's going on?
I'm a long time fan.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. You're so kind.
I'm trying to simplify my contacts. Yeah, I have multiple entries for just like one person. Now, to take my example, my sister, I got her last name. There's four entries for her last name. And then there's a just an initial, like E. Her name is Phyllis. The last name, so I don't know if I could say her last name or
no,
not.
No, I don't say her. You don't have to say her last name. Whatever her last name is.
So it's E. Phyllis, and then there's four entries for the full name, E. and Phyllis. And it's just, and when she calls, it's like a call from Phyllis and plus four, five others. You know,
it's like. It's like a crapshoot. It's like, okay, which Phyllis is going to be today? Come on, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'll tell you, it's really easy to fall into this trap because when you're using your iPhone or Apple Mail or whatever, it'll say, do you want to update your contacts? Because maybe Phyllis changed the way that she changed her name, right? And right. Then you say, sure, I would like to update my contacts. Why would I not want to update my contacts? Okay. And then suddenly you have one, two, three, four Phyllises sitting in your phone. And to clean out your contacts, it can be a bit of a nightmare doing it on your phone because, well, it's a pain in the neck. It is. It's not easy. You got to open up the contact, you got to edit, and then you got to find the delete. And then you're like, okay. That takes 30 seconds per contact. I actually did this myself recently while watching Netflix, and I find that to be a very productive use of my time is to clean out my photos and to actually clean out my contacts as well. If you want to do it an easier, better way than on your phone, Stephen, is that you sign into your iCloud account. So you got iCloud.com, you use your Apple ID, you know, username, password, sign in, and then there's a contacts button. And then what's nice is that you're able to go ahead and clean up all your contacts without necessarily doing it with just your phone and your thumbs. And so that's your first step, is to sign on to iCloud. Now, if you're looking for a way to, you know, kind of look, to do this semi-automatically, Okay. Is that there's a couple of apps you can check out. One is called Contacts Plus. Contacts Plus is really if you have tons of contacts and you want to separate them by, say, family members and friends and doctors and professional and business associates and good stuff like that. You could get up to 1,000 contacts, but there is a cost. I mean, it's going to have everything in the cloud. You're going to give you a lot of features and kind of turns into a little bit of a CRM for you too. It's about $10 a month. You can try A to Z Contacts, and there's also another one called CardUp. I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll put a link to all three of these over inside the Commando community. That's commando.com/community and hit the Q&A forum. Stay right where you are. We have a free security cam software to tell you about here on the Kim Commando Show. Now, in your home, you probably have a security camera, maybe two, but here's what you have going on. If you have a laptop or desktop, you can actually turn that into a security cam too, because what? It has a webcam. There's this critter.camera, and it's absolutely free. It takes 2 minutes to calibrate a test, and then it stores everything locally right on your device. We have a link to it over at commando.com. You can also set it to do not disturb, so a call or text doesn't ruin your recording. So again, it's Critter Cam. It's a great way to turn your laptop or desktop into a security cam. And don't forget, the show never ends 24/7. You can find me at KONENDO.com.